Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for rejoining us on today's segment of Christian Conservative Radio with your hosts, as always, Pastor Bob Peterson and myself, Spokane City Councilman Mike Fagan. How are you getting along today, Pastor Bob?
I'm doing great, Mike.
That is good. I'll tell you, we're going to be offering the listeners a little bit something different today, aren't we?
Well, I think so. We're a little different format to the program.
Oh, you betcha. As a matter of fact, we're basically going to be taking that little break that we have in the center of the show there traditionally, folks, and we're going to put that break right there on the end of the show. And we're going to try that today and see how that particular format works. But in the meantime, welcome to the Christian Conservative Radio here. We broadcast at noon every Saturday on 106.5 FM, as well as five other affiliate stations here. We're heard in the Spokane Coeur d'Alene corridor, as well as western Montana, the northern panhandle, northeast Oregon, and all of eastern Washington. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, we got to be having an effect out there. You know, we've been doing this show for a little over a year now. And one of the things that we traditionally like to do is we traditionally like to strongly encourage you to log on to www.rallyright.org. You can give us a call at 208-987-0005 also. And, you know, over the last year, ladies and gentlemen, we've been encouraging folks to go to that webpage, check out some of the podcasts from previous broadcasts, previous guests, check out some of the resource information that we've got on the webpage. And more importantly, we've been asking you folks to sign up so that we could get a group of you folks in your own respective geographic areas to get active once again, get reengaged in your local communities, get reengaged in your local government, and go about the process of figuring out, searching out, developing those folks that you feel would become and can become good Christian conservative leaders. You know, Pastor Bob and I have been working real hard over the last year to serve up examples of good Christian conservative leaders here. And I'll tell you something, folks, we have been having some wonderful success. You know, over in the state of Idaho, Pastor Bob, Rally Right, that particular organization has seen the most success than it has in the last 30 years in getting good Christian conservative leaders elected there in the northern panhandle. We've now kind of shifted gears and we're working on Washington State here. We do have a special guest in the studio and we are going to be serving her up to you here in just a little while. Yes, we are going to be talking about Washington State, more specifically Spokane County. And before we go there, though, we definitely want to bring on board those new listeners that we know that are out there and curious. And that being said, Pastor Bob, would you please kindly share the mission statement?
Well, the mission statement for Rally Right and for Christian conservative leadership and for all these things is to bring together and empower like-minded Christians who will be active in safeguarding our freedom, our way of life, and our cities, counties, states, and country. These like-minded Christians will unite under the auspices of the Holy Bible, prayer, and fellowship in the Christian Conservative Creed. Now, the Christian Conservative Creed is a document that we wrote like 5.5 years ago. And because we put God in the front of it right at the top, that's the number one, you know?
Absolutely.
We've got the triune God right on the Christian Conservative Creed. When we had meetings and everything, you know who came? The Christians.
That's right.
They responded. But, you know, when you had a tea party or you had this, you just had all kinds of people. But they didn't survive. But I'll tell you, the Christians coming together was very powerful, and it led to people who've never done anything in their life, who were just became precinct committeemen, then they went on to become state representatives, they went on to become government officials, and this only started 5.5 years ago, and it's fantastic what has happened, Mike.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this particular show is having an effect out there, and the reason why we can say that is, you know, over the course of the years, we've been able to sign up at least 5,000 people on rallyright.org. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, it's definitely a God thing. And we are hoping, praying that this show is going to remain to motivate and inspire fellow Christians and others out there within hearing distance. Get up out of your chair while you still got the ability to do so and get reengaged. That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. You know, with all of the nasty things that we've got going on around the world and right here in our own backyard in the good old United States of America, I'm telling you, we got the ISIS issue over in the Middle East. We got things going on in the Ukraine and what's going on with the tensions between the United States and Russia. And, you know, here just recently, We have introduced, unfortunately, this virus called Ebola into the United States of America, and it is to be seen what is going to happen as a result.
Well, it's interesting what's happened, Mike, and the persecution against Christians out there is tremendous.
It
is.
Know?
And it seems to be, you know, it seems time and time again that Bible prophecy is right, you know. And the more I've followed it for 40 years, Bible prophecy, more we're living in these days. It's like 11th hour and 59 minutes.
Oh, you betcha.
It's all coming down. Things are fulfilled just the way it said. The countries are lining up exactly the way the Bible said. Things that were written 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, they're all coming to pass right in our time. But you mentioned a while back ago, Mike, you know, you talked about Washington here and how in the beginning of our program, we were talking about all Idaho for the first months,
you know.
But then in the primary, I was shocked, man, what happened, because I've been hearing so many negative things over here going on in Washington. But I feel like there is a real Christian move over here. And I seen in the primary what was going on. And man, there seems to be a turning around.
There definitely does seem to be a turning around. And, you know, that's why I say, I mean, this show is definitely a God thing. And we are so pleased to be able to bring this show to you folks. You know, one thing, we got to talking about, you know, some of the conditions that we've got around the world, et cetera. We just touched upon the Christian conservative creed. And, you know, traditionally, folks, I'm the guy that goes ahead and responds with the Christian conservative creed like I'm about ready to do so. Once again, this Christian conservative creed is about the values. It's about tradition. It's about principles that we all can gather around as Christians. And that Christian conservative creed is as follows. We believe in the triune of God, the Father, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, freedom, the Constitution, states' rights, justice, individual rights, the right to life. And folks, we are going to be touching on the right to life here in just a short bit. Marriage, and let me be clear, the union of one man and one woman. Personal responsibility, national security, fiscal responsibility, and finally, but probably as equally important, support for Israel, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Mike, you know, it's really, really important, the things that we see going on in this creed, and all of them seem, it seems to be people who are faith believers want to preserve what we have in this country. The people who've gone away from the faith don't seem to care about the foundation of this country or how God used His men and people to bring about the greatest freedom and the greatest country in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what can we do about that, Mike? I believe that there is going to be a resurgence in America. Matter of fact, the news said that they're doing polls out there and government polls, and it seems like young people are beginning to swing away from secularism to faith-based, you know? And so you never know when the people are going to just swing back and when the Holy Spirit's going to move. So there may be a great revival coming in this country.
Well, let's hope so, and let's hope that that great revival comes without a whole lot of tragedy before it.
Well, that's it. You know, I want to share one scripture here today, and that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Now, I've often shared this on the program many, many times over the last year and a half. But you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the people lose their saltiness and they don't do what needs to be done in this country and the Christians don't step up, it's going to flee away.
Oh, absolutely, man. And I'll tell you, you know, Scripture's not asking a whole lot from you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it is said that we are to be the fishers of men. We go out there and capture them. And guess who gets to clean them?
That's it. Well, Mike, I think our guest is here, and I think we need to get to that guest.
Oh, you betcha.
Mike,
well,
go ahead and introduce.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. I'm very, very happy to do so. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, once again, this show is all about leading people to Christ. We have just had it's been a blessing for Pastor Bob and I to be serving up to you guest speakers like we have over the last year. They've all been good Christian conservative leaders, either candidates, sitting electeds, precinct committee officers, et cetera. And it just so happens that we've got a candidate here with us today. She is running for Spokane County Auditor. And for those folks that are not aware of what the auditor does, you're about ready to get a huge learning lesson. And I'll tell you something, folks. County auditors in the state of Washington are extremely important with regard to elections. And the reason being is because we're one of just a few states in the union that have a mail-in ballot system, that have a mail-in voter registration system. And I'll tell you something, folks, you know, when we used to have that polling station, i.e. the libraries, the schools, you had to show your ID. You had to show your precinct membership card, if you will, in order to go ahead and get into that poll and do your voting. It's not like that anymore, ladies and gentlemen. So without further ado, let's please welcome candidate for Spokane County Auditor, Miss Aline Lindstrand.
Thank you for so much for having me on. I appreciate being here.
Oh, you bet. Aline, we got to dive right into this thing. The clock is running. What does the county auditor do?
The county auditor is an extremely important position. As you mentioned, there are four departments under the auspices. One is the financial services. That is the largest dollar portion of the four departments. Recording everything that needs and must be recorded. That's a different department. Licensing for motor vehicles is another department. And most people, if they're familiar at all, would be familiar with elections.
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
Well, before we get on to all that down-to-business stuff, you know, Mike, I'd like to learn some more things about Aline here. And we do pronounce your name Aline, right?
Correct.
Aline Lindstrand. And I just want to make sure that's a beautiful name. And where did you grow up and where did you go to school and how long you been in the Spokane area?
All my life.
All your life.
I was born and raised here. Lived on the north side up in the Garland District until junior high. My parents moved out to the Valley, graduated from University High, and went to a number of different colleges and finished and graduated with a degree in business at University of Idaho.
Oh, you betcha. Well, I'll tell you something, Aline. You know, you left out a little bit of your background here because I'll tell you, if you are a lifelong resident of Spokane County, I know that you have had to hear these jingles. You have had to see the show that Aline is about ready to introduce to you. So please, Aline, would you elaborate?
My father was a very well-known businessman with a Boyle Fuel Company. He was one of the owners after Leon J. Boyle sold out to he and Bob Ward and Earl J. Tinsley many years ago. And then he and Bob Ward took it on their own after that. And they did something very unusual that Mr. Boyle had started with a local talent show, and they produced it live. It's not common then, but even less so now with technology. And they did it all in-house. And the jingle was, if you need Kohler oil, call Boyle, Fairfax 5-1-5-2-1.
I won't ask you to do that again,
no,
but that was
you.
Really good, man. We need to have a lingo, don't we? We need to have some kind of thing like that on our show, don't we, Mike?
Oh, you betcha. Well, I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob. You know, I mean, this jingle resonates with a lot of people. Like I said, if you are a lifelong resident of the city of Spokane, you were around back in the 50s to the 70s here, that jingle definitely brings you back.
Everybody knew it.
You're absolutely correct. Everybody knew it. And, you know, the twins that used to sing that particular jingle there, I don't know what happened to them eventually, but man, I'll tell you, they were very, very popular back in those days. And, you know, on top of that, I understand that your father also was very instrumental in a talent show that was very, very big on television here in the local Spokane community called the Starlit Stairway.
Correct. It gave a lot of the Inland Empire, and back then cable meant a whole lot more because they had no stations in these outlying areas. The only way they had anything was from a station sent in by cable in Canada, Montana, Northern Oregon, all over Idaho, portions of, to hear and see this program. And they would drive long distances to get their kid on the talent show, Starlit Stairway, where the jingle was said a lot. And all the commercials were all done in-house, and that was my father's creative genius.
Oh, that's great. Well, Aline, you know, what influences have affected you in your life? You know, your business experience, your things, but you must have some kind of godly experience.
Absolutely. My mother was a huge influence in a number of ways. She listened to Christian radio, so therefore I did. And I heard many things on the radio at the time that got you involved about issues that were of concern to everybody, particularly things in a spiritual nature that you have a certain viewpoint on, biblical. And because of her interest in this and the fact that I became a Christian at the age of 8, it's one of those things that together, you know, you just know after the fact, the hindsight, where you've been and how you got where you are today. Those were very important factors that my mom had the courage to support me when I was in school. And I had a teacher in junior high that took away the English textbook.
Wow.
And I told her that, you know, this was what happening. We have these magazines. We hear about social studies in our English class. And so my mom went before the school board and they were forced to put back the English textbook. So her courage gave me the courage to do things when the time was right, that it was laid on me to do various things and step up and do my civic duty.
Well, how did you get involved in politics?
I've always been interested in what's going on in the world. I don't like feeling like I don't know what's going on. But as far as actual involvement and help, because there's times in life when you're busy raising families or out of state doing other things with your husband and volunteering, which was a big thing for me at the time because I'd always worked. I had my business on the north side of Spokane for a while that I had started from scratch with another woman, still exists today. So when you move out, things change. And I got busy in volunteering. So it was about eight and a half years ago that I started really focusing on candidates, good candidates, and how they get in office. You know, I have to say this because
it's hard to know sometimes. You know, I found that's the biggest part of people not running is the fear of knowing how to run for office.
Well, it can be, but when you find somebody, and I always thought I was a great helper. I never thought I'd be in this position myself. But when I identified a candidate who I thought would be a great candidate, I wanted to help them. And getting involved in even the small things of addressing envelopes and mailings and knocking on doors, I found I really liked the conversations at the door and talking with people. And you're dealing with me here who used to run from meeting anybody. This is honest truth. When I was much younger, that I used to be very, very shy. It's hard to imagine now. But I love talking on behalf of other candidates about we need this person because I grew up in this bubble. And I think not on purpose, but a lot of people are there. Oh, we're just going to pray them in. Well, I have to tell you, Mike, you know what it's like to run for office. You need more than prayer too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
You do. We need people helping us, knocking on doors and folding and filing and funds and all kinds of things.
That's it.
You betcha. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, one thing that we promised the listeners that we would go ahead and touch upon, and I think maybe we should take a minute or two to do that, Pastor Bob, and that would be the right to life. And you know, what is the right to life all about?
Yes.
Well, you know, I understand that there is a right to life movement that is going to be occurring in the state of Idaho here shortly. But at the same token, we just got done kicking off what we refer to as the 40 Days for Life campaign right here in Spokane County just a couple of weekends ago.
Well, that's it. And I believe the Right to Life rally is in Coeur d'Alene on Saturday. I'm not sure about the time, but I'll tell you, if you call at 208-987-0005 and leave your phone number, Pastor Bob will call you back before Saturday, and then I will get the information for you and tell you where the rally is going to be held at. I know it's just right up on Highway 95 there and what time it is.
You betcha. Well, you know, we encountered the same effort, the same program last year. And yeah, you're absolutely correct. As long as you folks are in a position to give us a call at 208-987-0005, leave your name and number. We'll definitely get back to you and let you know all the details with regard to the Right to Life rally that we got going on. But in the meantime, though, Pastor Bob, you know, just a couple of quick comments on the 40 Days for Life, Right to Life in general. Just think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Ever since Roe v. Wade went into effect, there have been over 50 million babies murdered. I'll say that again, 50 million babies murdered. That could have been 50 million more Christians that we could have added to the rolls. That could have been...
Real tragedy.
Absolutely.
And so it's
absolutely.
Just, and it's going to affect us forever, you know.
It will.
Just because of what's happened. Well, Mike, you know, I'd like to get back back to Aline. We got so many minutes left in the show here, but I want to talk to her about the election process and everything.
Oh,
there.
You betcha.
And I, what's going on out there in Washington? What's going on with the election process? How do you feel about the whole system right now?
How I feel about the system is we have to deal with what we have, which is mail-in only, as convoluted as it is. And because it is, and you follow the law, I believe we need greater security in each county because each county is responsible for their own. We can do a lot better with the security of our ballots. We handle them and process them way too much.
Well, that's it. And now, an auditor, you know, I mean, most people don't even think of what an auditor is. And you kind of described a little bit, but there's auditors for every county in Washington, right?
Yes, there are.
And those people do just, you know, like a couple lines. What's the main object of the whole thing? What does a person who does that do?
I believe with four vastly different departments, it takes good business management, or you will not do as well, and you will have the issues of which I've stepped up and running against.
Yes, and now there hasn't been like an audit of the election process in how many years or something? What is going on here?
We have not had one in 16 years, and I don't believe we've had one before that. The person I'm running against has not done one in 16 years, and it's extremely important because when you look at every business out there, the government requires things of a business to do. You fill out your forms, you pay taxes on your employees, all these things. And if you don't do it, two things can happen. You are fined or you are shut down. Mm-hmm. What happens to the government when they're not performing?
Yeah.
They get reelected.
So what is the purpose of the audit, though? What is it going to tell you?
The independent election audit that has never happened will tell us that we can have great confidence in our existing system. And when we don't know what program and can't see what's on it, and we're told we cannot see what's on it, doesn't inspire me with confidence.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you something, Pastor Bob. You know, we have already had documented cases just in the last 6, 7, 8 years where we have seen voter fraud. And I'm talking about ballots being found on the top of a file cabinet in a government office things to that effect. So that is just a little bit of an example as to why auditing is very, very necessary in the election arena.
The other thing I'd like to point out that a lot of people do not think about is I have not said it, but the incumbent has, that Spokane County is the queen of recounts. I'm not sure that would be something I would want to be proud of, as if this is a good thing. And people ask you about that because as a candidate, if you end up in a recount, sometimes there's two kinds, mandatory or you pay for one. If you are the queen of counties with recounts, I think there's something going on. I think an audit is certainly more than in order and way past due.
An audit makes it so that somebody comes in and verifies what's
Absolutely.
Going on and makes sure
that the counts are right.
Done right.
Well, let me tell you why.
Not accountable.
Well, not accountable and not transparent when machines, there's six machines that we have in this county, and you run ballots through a tabulation machine, and you usually run maybe four at a time in the busy time, running lots of ballots. There's a fifth one. Sometimes there's one in the back that they bring in. And if something happens with a machine that breaks down and you put another one in place, and you didn't double check that machine before you run it, I find that huge problem.
Yes, it is. Now tell
me,
you know, what are you going to do if you get elected to this position, and what are your election plans?
My election plans are multiple. I think the first thing is employee morale. You get them together. You talk about what can we do better? How can we be more efficient? We've had this department that has come screaming and dragging into the 21st computer age, and we can do better. We've gotten a portion, but we have a long ways to go. And some of it has to do with the equipment. Others has to do with, are you willing to do it? If you've got this program running at the Treasury Department, but not at the Audit Department, why not? It's not like you're buying something new. You've got it. You're just not using it, such as electronic checking.
Sure, you betcha.
Having to do all that by hand. That's just one of them.
You bet. Well, Aline, we're about out of time for today's show. Stuck in that dilemma, too much show, not enough time. Would you be so kind enough to close us in prayer?
Well, you know what, Mike? I want that prayer, but she needs to tell how to get hold of her.
Oh, you betcha.
Well, how do they reach you?
www.alenefor.com. That's AlenefourAuditor, just like it sounds.
Okay, and you can utilize a telephone number of 509-869-7657. Again, 509-869-7657. Aline?
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, which is our guidebook for life. We thank you for the plans that you reveal to us in your word. word and directly to us as we seek your direction. We thank you for Bob and Mike today and for the radio interviews that they give with candidates and other people who love freedom and who love your word and want to do things in a right way, that we want to serve the people with good government. We have asked you to raise up good folks to run for office, and now we ask that you will lay on the hearts of Christians out there listening to vote and to help the good candidates in various ways so that they will be elected, and we do covet their prayers. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, as we head on out the door, fathers, grandfathers, grab the family, glorify and praise God. Give that family a great big hug and a kiss. Tell them you love them. Take them somewhere nice. We'll see you next time.